You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Well, first of all, kid, where the fuck is your parents? Because I wanted to abduct you, you'd be mine. Okay, I'd have your hair. We'd be in the bathroom with your hair dyed a different color already.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas. This is the social hour. On today's show, comic book creator Kevin Davis. And now your host. No joke this week, just a couple more days to support Kill Stan. And if you don't, the joke's on you. Dice Casillas!
Malum Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dice. Thank you for coming back for another episode. We appreciate you hanging out. As always, tell a friend, like, share, rank us on, give us a good ranking and review on YouTube, Spotify, Yelp, Grindr, wherever you get your finer podcasts. We don't care. Let someone know you're taking a listen, and thanks for hanging out again, guys. Real quickly, as for me, go to deececomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network, across the country. We've got live shows coming up. Next weekend, I will be in Dallas at the Brass Taps. Actually, that's actually in Frisco, Texas, just north of Dallas. So come check out that show. That is going to be a fun show. I've got a couple other things around Texas coming up, then headed to the East Coast. Got shows in North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and more coming up before the year is over. So those of you on the East Coast that have been asking me to come back, I will be back. But also, I don't know if you have power and can hear this because those hurricanes have fucked you guys up. So stay strong. I'll bring some funny if you're not floating away on a fucking buoy by then. But I will try. Also, I never know if South Carolina and North Carolina are the East Coast or the South. So anyway, that area, I'll be back. And the comic book Kill Stan is still live on Kickstarter. That's going through October 16th. So get your copies while you can. There's just a couple days left to secure some exclusive variants and goodies we have on that. So check it out. We're trying to hit at least 5,000 before the end of that. Number two is underway. So get ready. We're working on it. Second one, we're fast tracking to get this bad boy out. And we appreciate everyone who's come to the conventions we've been at, got some early copies. I will be at Dallas Fan Expo on October 19th and 20th. So come check that out. And I will be at Mexamericon, which is a Latino-based comic convention and arts convention in Austin, Texas on November 2nd. So God bless my dad for making it across that wall and getting me a chance to use my Latino card to slang my comic books. So that's it, guys, for my news. We're going to get into it with our guest today, talk about his comic book and what he has going on. Please welcome to the show, Kevin Davis. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I just realized after I said that, are you in Tennessee?
I am.
You're Memphis, right?
I am. Yes, sir.
Good old Memphis. I like Memphis. I've been there a couple times. It's been a long time, but it is a it's a unique place. Memphis has a flavor like a lot of cities do not have flavor, you know, like there, because it really has the different sides of it. You know, there's some places where, you know, you're like, all right, it's just like people on dirt bikes, you know, and, you know, on malt liquor and they're burning out. Then there's like nicer, but it's such a weird, I love the city though. It's like got a true vibe and culture to it, you know?
Oh yeah. Like I've been living here my entire life. I'm still learning it. It's that crazy. It looks small, but it's huge.
It's crazy. And it's, you know, after being across the country, you start to realize how much of it kind of blends in and looks the same. And, you know, you're like, you know, I'll start to forget where I am sometimes or where I was when I was doing something just because so much of the country looks the same. But like Memphis is a place that distinctly stands out to me. There's no mistaking it when you're in Memphis, mm-hmm. for good or bad. And it has both those aspects.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
But, you know, it's like Memphis, Atlanta. I feel like places in that kind of like southern, southeast region, like I said, like Philadelphia, Memphis, Atlanta, Savannah, like those places really have like a real bite to them, unlike a lot of middle America. You know, you go to a lot of places in like Kansas, wow. and Oklahoma City, and it's just kind of like meh. And you know, those places have yeah, you know, they're just like, I don't know, man, they just seem like so much else that it's just one big it's like a Walmart, you know. It's like if they made Walmart a state, it's Oklahoma. Yeah,
I feel that.
Yeah. how's it like, what was it like growing up in Tennessee? I mean, that's with that kind of vibe,
man. You want the good or the bad? Okay.
Let's go both.
Well, growing up in my first neighborhood that I can remember, it was rough.
Yeah.
Very loud at times. But since moving, but in a new neighborhood, I've been here for like 14 years now.
Oh, okay.
At least now, it's completely peaceful. Like literally to nobody parties in this neighborhood I'm in now. And I was like, that's interesting. I'm like, so I'm like, I've seen different parts of Memphis. I'm like, yeah. Some that's peaceful, some that's, I guess, ghetto or loud, as you call it.
Yeah.
But growing up, it was tough because I grew up by a single mom in a house full of women. I legit was the only male in my house.
Yeah.
So I was like confused, angry, depressed, and just going through all these things. Growing up, I did some stupid crap because, you know, when we go through like these emotions, we do stupid things.
Yeah. Since
we don't not think logically. I was like, I'm not afraid to. Yes, I stole, I smoked, and I hung around like the wrong crowd, and I just got like very bad influences. That I nearly went to jail in middle school.
Yeah,
I nearly went to jail in middle school, but by the grace of God, I did not. They put me off as a warning, and I got myself straightened up so quick because I was this close.
That was as close as you wanted to get.
Yeah, I'm like, I gotta change my life around. I'm like, I can't do this. I have a life to live. I'm not gonna waste it. And that's why, like, a lot of people like. Some people think I'm older than I am now, because when people ask me, how old are you? I say, I'm 25. They say, what? I'm like, you're 25 and you know all this? I was like, yeah, I'm 25. And people think I'm like older because how the way I carry myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I'm a business owner and, like, you know, like the normal people my age, like partying and like doing all these different, I was like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't have time for that. I was like, because one, I'm an introvert. I'm very quiet and I observe everything. And people, and it's funny, people legit think I'm a mean person because I don't talk. I was like, I'm not mean.
Yeah.
I'm just observant. Right. Like, and I can feel your energy. And I can feel your energy. And so I was like, if I don't feel a really good energy with you, I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'll at least say hey to you out of respect, but I'm not going to have a full blown conversation with you because if I feel like you're not pure or have the right intentions, I'm not going to talk to you because I've dealt with that and I'm not going to deal with it again. And so that's why I always keep my circle small everywhere I go, even here in Tennessee. I was like, you can't trust everybody you see. You have to be very careful with who you talk to. Because one, there could be someone that's trying to get something from you because they must see that you're doing a lot of stuff. Or two, that could also be people that are actually supporting you and just wants to support you and be there for you. You have to know the difference.
Yeah.
And I learned that from my mother. And my mother's actually a writer, too. So that's what inspired me to be a writer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
And it's crazy. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, what did your mom write?
Right now, she has a lot of books she hasn't published yet. Okay. And she let me read her murder mystery book, her first murder mystery book. And I tell you, I could not put that book down.
Yeah.
I could not put it down. I legit took me a whole day reading that book because I could not put it down. And that's where it like sparked in me. I said, I want to do this. Yeah. Like, I want to learn writing. And I used to hate writing. I used to hate writing, but I found out that I have a gift in writing when I was in ninth grade of high school.
Yeah.
When it was African American history class. We had our first paper and he had ranked us from 1 to 5, where 1, you need a lot of help. 3, saying you're there, but we can push you higher. And 5, you're just masterful. My first paper, he gave me a 3. He told me that you have very strong writing. I just want to push you to a higher level.
Yeah.
And so that's where I learned that I actually have a gift in writing. And my mom was right, saying that the things you hate are the things you're good at. I'm just like, darn it. Okay,
sucks,
fine. I'll
listen.
Sucks when
the parents are right, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, so that's where that's my beginning of writing is legit. Ninth grade high school and read my mom's book.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really powerful because especially if it's someone you're close with or respect and can see them, you know, being a single mom, working hard, but still taking that time to cultivate art, even when it's going unseen, you know what I'm saying? Like that is to me such a marker of true art is stuff that you do for free. Because I mean, I do stand-up comedy for a living, right? And you got to do comedy for free for a long time before you start, you know, making money, and then even longer before you can start doing it for a living, you know. So and I love writing. I mean, I was always a writer too. So I mean, I was always writing, creating things. I've written books. I've done all sorts of things over the years, the comic book now. But, you know, people always ask me, like, what do you do in your free time? What do you do in your spare time? And I'm like, well, it's kind of not really fair to ask me that, because before I did comedy and writing for a living, I did comedy and writing for fun. So, you know, like those are the things I enjoy doing just in life. So now I get to do them and luckily, you know, enjoy the fruits of my labor. But like that, it's those people that are just doing it out of the love is all, you know, obviously, like you said, how good your mom's book is, some of the best stuff, because, you know, they're not trying to do it for an audience or do it for an editor that's asking for a certain thing or yep. They're just, it's purely out of what the story they're trying to tell in love, you know?
Yep.
What was the avenue that brought you from like wanting to write to writing comic books? Did you try other mediums? Were you, were you always a comic book fan?
Funny thing is, I was never a comic book fan.
Okay.
I'm a comic book movie fan, but okay. I never read the comics.
Got it. Yeah.
Because I didn't grow up reading comics. I grew up reading novels, but never knew about comics. So I've been in the industry for 2 years now. Started 2022. My official start in the industry was 2022, but I fell in love with comics in like 20, because of COVID, because I had nothing else to do.
Okay.
So 2020, I heard about indie comics, and I was like, what is indie comics? Yeah. I always knew about Marvel, DC, Image, IDW, and all those other public. I'm like, what is indie comics?
Yeah.
And so the first one I heard was about it's from Black Sands Entertainment. And from there, I've learned about Ace Blade. Then so many other indie comics I lost name of because they're so freaking cool. It's like all these just trickled down. But I started writing, I wrote my first novel. I started writing novels first before I learned about comics because I was just getting into comics. I didn't know if I wanted to do it yet at that time. But hearing people's story about why they got into comics and how they do it, it really inspired me. And so about a year later, 2021, I started researching. I'm like, okay, if I want to get into comics, how do I do that, right?
Yeah.
So I started researching, deep diving, understanding the culture of it. And I learned, like, writing a script. I'm like, a script? Like a screenplay? They said, and it's like, yes, but it's by panels.
Yeah.
Panels. I was so confused until panels? I was like, what? They said, you think of a storyboard. Right. As those are panels, like when you like watch behind the scenes, like movies and stuff, how you see those storyboards to have to mm-hmm. show like the scenes in the before the movie. I was like, those are called panels. I was like, oh, interesting. And now learn that you have to be very specific so the artist can know what you're envisioning so they can draw it out for you.
Yeah.
And also like, but make sure you know how to budget before you try to interview artists, because you know. It ranges between prices depending on what kind of style you want.
Oh, yeah.
So it was 2022. I started officially writing my first scripts. And my first drafts, you know, always the first drafts you end up hating. I was like, I hated it. And I was like, I'm struggling. I nearly gave up. But I was like, no. I was like, nope. I want to do this. I love writing and I want to tell my story. And I had to find my niche, as they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I learned, I said, write the story that you want to see. Or like, write the story that you know and write the story that you want to tell. And so, you know, I'm like, I'm a big advocate for like mental health. And like, I've always wanted to inspire people. So thinking about that, I was like, how could I tell a story that's about family, that's about mental health, like bringing awareness, but in a way that's entertaining, mm-hmm. but also giving a positive message at the same time.
Yeah.
And so that's where my inspiration came from, is like, and I also think about my own personal experience. I say, my experience probably could help somebody. Like, I don't care if it's like one person, if it touched one person, I did my job.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I really started to fall in love with comics and just reading each and everyone's stories. And I just like, and now I'm up to like 150 scripts on my laptop now.
At a fast.
And still counting, because I have so much stories I want to tell. And I was like, I'm not going to stop. Like, I love storytelling. And plus, I'm not going to lie, I got tired of Hollywood with these insane, keep rebooting, yeah. sequel. I was like, can we get something original?
You're right.
I was like, why am I waiting on another dude when I can just do it myself?
Yeah, well,
like, I can work and just build it myself.
That's part of the problem, that not only in, you know, movies, comic books, any medium, is that, mm-hmm. you know, they just need IP, they need familiarity, they just, because mm-hmm. like, people are dumb, and they just want McDonald's, you know, like they don't, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just whatever's on the billboard the most, they want to eat, put that in their face. They don't care about what's actually art or what's actually original and what actually has like a heart to it and some sort of meaning. I mean, that's the thing I've been trying to convey the most in some of the podcast interviews I've been doing for my comic book, is like, comic books is a medium, you know, mm-hmm. like everyone thinks superheroes is a genre of the medium. Granted, it's yep. probably a very large genre, probably 80%, 70-80% of the medium. But you can tell, you know, there's so many other stories in that medium, and you can tell any story in comic books, you know, and yep. you can use fantastical avatars and allegories mm-hmm. to tell a story like about mental, you know, mental health mm-hmm. and family and aware and things like that, you know, and that's such an important thing. I mean, even going to some of the conventions I have recently, I'll talk to other creators and like, oh, I'm like, what's your book about? And they're like, oh, it's my kind of version of Dungeons and Dragons. And I'm like, like, it's like a fantasy thing. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, what's it about? It's like, oh, these guys have an adventure and they find some powers and they lose some people and then they gain a couple people along the way. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but what's it about? And, you know, like, I want to know, like, but what, like, what's the meat? Like, what do you, what's the yeah. story you're trying to tell me? I mean, not that there's not room for like, hey, these guys fight dragons, it's a fun adventure, And, you know, like, that's, there's room for that. But also, like, I don't know, man, do you have, like, a story you're trying to tell? Is it about these people's struggle to find their humanity or, like, their place in the world? Or, what, like, what is it, you know? And we, I feel like so much art has lost lost that. So with your comic book, this is your third comic book, right?
Yeah, Skin Shifter, yeah.
And is, so it's Skin Shifter number one. So the other two books were something completely different then?
Yeah. Yeah, my first two books is Arcfire and Havoc.
Okay, so they're all just like one shots, or are they
Arcfire is going to be a series.
Okay.
Havoc is going to be an anthology series where each story is a standalone. So so technically that's a one shot in a way, where it's a one shot series. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, an anthology where it's just, you know, perpetual, just different stories.
Yeah, so Havoc gonna have different artists on a different story, but it's still in the Havoc universe.
Yeah, okay. So it's a shared idea. So everything happening.
Yeah.
In the,
got Thank it. You. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah. It's a shared idea. It's because it's Wreck and Havoc, just in different characters, different time periods, different stories.
Okay.
Same Havoc universe, just different styles, different art styles, and different stories. Yeah.
So do Arcfire and Skin Shifter happen in that universe also, or separate universes?
No, separate universes.
Okay. Well, tell us about Skin Shifter. You've got a Kickstarter pre-launch up now. The actual launch is to be determined. But tell us about it. I'm looking at the art. Looks kind of like a little bit of a. There's a little gore factor here. A little. Maybe a little horror theme.
Yeah. So Skin Shifter is actually based on my novel, Jackal Bunny.
Okay.
So the story is horror. It's horror, dark fantasy. It's like, I'm not like a gore festing type of person. I always want to make sure the story goes with the gore.
Sure.
To make sure you can follow it. But the story takes place where it's a college student named Amaya Fitzgerald. She's trying to live her life, just trying to find herself, trying to find her path. But the thing is, she doesn't know that she's being tracked down by a demon named Jackal Bunny. But the thing is, Jackal Bunny is actually an alter ego by a girl named Sabrina Jackal. So if you like them shape-shifting stories, like alter ego stories, that's where I'm kind of that's where I got my inspiration from.
Okay.
But Sabrina Jackal is actually, she's also sent from hell by a demon called the Corpus Fiend. And so the story takes place, like, you're trying to figure out, why does the Corpus Fiend want Amaya so freaking bad?
Okay.
Because he's been trying to get her for so long. It's like, what's so special? I want people to ask, what's so special about Amaya that he wants her so freaking bad?
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm trying, keep guessing.
Yeah.
And I'm about to start issue 2 and 3 soon. But issue one is done completely. But yeah, it's I guess a cat and mouse situation where it's like, you're trying to get this, but you can't get it. And you're trying to figure out why is she so special?
Yeah.
And why do they want her so bad? Like, is she like an ancient something or something powerful that he wants to take out? Like, it's like, and then you can't trust nobody. You can't trust her friends.
Yeah.
I always tell them, like, if you like Stranger Things mixed with Cabin in the Woods, if you know the movie Splice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, if you kind of get that, like, you kind of think about those, you can kind of, like, put those kind of together and think of a Skin Shift in a way.
Okay.
And
you...
Even the movie Jackal, because I remember the movie Jackal had, like, a body woman. That had a woman with the mask, a bunny mask on or something.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's kind of like, it's kind of like a cultist mixed with Stranger Things, mixed with Cabin in the Woods, mixed with Splice.
All right.
It's best
All
friend.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot going on. I like the vibe, though. And I do, you know, I like horror and gore for a reason, like you said. That's important, I think, to know. Well, oh, yeah. You know, because, like, it's, there's nothing wrong with it if it's a vehicle for the story and it makes sense, you know, if it's not gratuitous just because. I always talk about, like, are you familiar with the movie A Clockwork Orange?
Yes, I am.
So that's one of my favorite movies.
I just watched it.
Did you? Okay. So it's fresh in your brain. This will be great then, Kevin. So it's one of my favorite films, and I love the director, Stanley Kubrick. He's an amazing filmmaker. He's made, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I love that movie.
Yeah. He made Full Metal Jacket. He made a ton of great films. But the movie is so good. And the book also by Anthony Burgess, who, he wrote it in the 50s, and then they made the movie in the kind of early 70s, mid 70s, 74, I think. And, like, it's hard to watch for some people because it is dark. There's a lot of violence. Sure. There's sexual violence. And if without really diving into the story, if you're just going to watch it on the surface, it seems gratuitous and unnecessary. And, like, you're not really sure what's going on. But if you're willing to actually, like, look at the story, you start to peel back the layers and see, oh, no. What this writer is talking about is he's talking about the decay of decency and humanity and how we, like, he feels that we are spiraling into this future where there'll be no connection between humans, and we look at other humans as just objects to use and have, just where everyone's basically a sociopath. And it's funny because this book was written in the 50s, and, you know, 70 years later, you're kind of like, maybe he was onto something. You know, you look around the world today and you're like, so it doesn't seem that crazy. I mean, you look at, I'm not trying to, like, fucking, you know, kink shame anyone, but when, like, you know, every girl's on OnlyFans and every fucking everyone's on the apps and they're just swiping, there's no commitment, just the next thing's around the corner, like, just pure gluttony, no real connection with other people, no real community, just willing to, like, you know, everything, just not, it's we really have lost that connection with people, and it shows in the way we interact with people. And you know, then you start to realize, like, oh, what this guy was saying in this movie is actually legitimate, you know, what their story they were trying to tell. But again, it's hard. You have to be willing to get to that story, because, you know, you can just look at the gore and just be like, oh, I don't know, it creeps me out. And you're like, well, yeah, you're just unwilling to look at the subtext. So since you started working on comic books, have you become a comic book fan at all? Did you start reading any comic books?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. When I tell you I'm going to have to get a shelf for comics, I'm going to have to get a new shelf for comics.
Oh, all right.
Because I love supporting independent creators. I have to get your book because I see you have yours on Kickstarter, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I have to get yours. And every time I see a new, like, new comic, I say, oh, you're an indie creator, I'm supporting. especially if the art cover catches me, I'm like, I gotta get that book. I don't care the story, I just want you tell me about the art, I said, I'll read the story later. I'm like you legit pitched me with your cover art. I'm just like, I'm buying. Once I can, I'm buying. I have a lot of comics now. And I'm still writing on some more now I'm thinking about it. But yes, I am a huge comic book fan. I recently just got some Hellboy, some Alien, some Stranger Things, some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with Stranger Things. I got some Ace Blade and so many different comics. This is my nerd coming out now.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I'm like, I don't have to ask for permission. I got grown people money now. Yeah.
I can do what I want. Yeah, I don't need to go down the corner store and buy them for $1.25. I'm gonna make a couple recommendations to you, and these you may have heard of, you may have read, but these are some of my favorite comic book series over the years. in no particular order, but there's a comic book called Why the Last Man.
Okay.
It's like Y, the letter Y, the Last Man by Brian K. Vaughan. It's arguably the greatest comic book of all time, in my opinion.
Was that a show too?
It was a show. The show was terrible.
I never watched it, so I don't know. Was that a show?
The show was trash. It lasted one season. They canceled it. They just did a horrible job with it. The Max, M-A-X-X, The Max, which was an early Image comic book. It's a weird, it's got an interesting art style by Sam Keith, and it's kind of a weird book on its surface, but it's really all about loss and trauma and PTSD and, you know, what, like, kind of people, just mental illness and how people deal with trauma through mental illness and coping mechanisms and trauma bonding. And like, it's really intriguing. I think you might like that a lot. So those are a couple I would suggest to you, given what you're kind of your vibe.
Nice. So yeah, check those out. Nice. Yeah.
So Skin Shift, let's back to Skin Shift real quickly though. You said you got up to 3 issues written so far. You're doing just the writing. You've got an artist you're working with?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I write all my stuff and have artist team that works on my comics.
Okay. Just people you work with virtually then, or are they there in Tennessee or?
Nope, they're virtually.
It is nice.
Yeah, I have artists in Argentina, Colombia, Florida, Texas, the Philippines.
Yeah.
Like all over the world, because I just like diversity. I like meeting artists and like having fun. But I'm always very picky because I want to build a friendship before I even attempt a business relationship. Because one, I'm like, if I can talk to you like a normal person and not just business, and we can actually be friends, I want to do long-term projects with you.
Yeah.
But if you just like, also I want to see if they're in it for the love of the art too, and not just the money, because I want you to have fun with the project and not just, I know you got bills to pay, but I also want you to have fun with it too.
Yeah.
And so if you can have fun together and just have fun collaborating and working on a project, I'll work long term with you.
Yeah. Well, that is so important, you know, because you can, that synergy of like finding someone who's passionate and you know, is easy to work with and interested in the project too. I mean, you know, and it is great that we can do this virtually now. Cause yeah, I mean, my artist lives in Brazil, my colorist lives in Norway. So it's like, you can really, so you can really kind of just do it virtually. Just finding someone who, and it's also interesting to find people in other places that have a different perspective on what they do and how they do it. And, you know, it's nice to have that diversity, like you said.
Most definitely. And I also give some creative freedom because I want to hear your idea when you read my script. I want to hear your idea from the art perspective, because I only know like the writing perspective.
Yeah.
But I used to draw, but I don't know how to draw panels.
Hmm.
And so I said, let me know if I need to split a panel or if you need to push a panel to another page. So I always make sure I budget out extra just in case.
Yeah.
Awesome. When you read the script, give me your idea. Like, what do you think we can like spice this up a little bit more?
Yeah.
And so they give me an idea. I was like, I like that, but save it for this page so it can still be consistent with the story. As long as it's consistent with the story, I'll take it. I was like, but just leave it till right here.
Yeah.
I was like, that would work, but it would be confusing because of this event. So I'm like, you have to be very strategic. I'm like, I like the idea, but just have to make sure it's still builds upon the story I'm telling.
Yeah, it makes sense with it. And so,
are
you, when the Kickstarter launches, Kevin, are you doing and with your other comic books too, I guess, are you doing physical copies, you just do digital? How do people find what you've done and will be able to get on the new stuff?
I do both, actually.
Okay.
And like, because not everyone likes physical and not everyone likes digital. I'm like, so I do both. If you want the digital, you can get the digital. I'll send it to you by email. You want the physical, I'll have it printed. It'll be in the mail for you. So yeah, I do both.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I also add merchandise to the comic if you ordered the book with merchandise. So that's what's also going to be on my Kickstarter. Like if you get the book and merchandise, you can get a shirt with the book, joggers, hoodie, a hat.
You got the whole thing, huh?
Even a poster. Yeah. I'm even trying to posters just to like see what the poster looks like. But yeah, I also do notebooks. And I, even outside of my publishing, I also design my own my shoe brand too, because I design my own shoes too.
Oh damn! You can design your own shoes.
Yeah, I don't put that on Kickstarter because that takes too much time. so that's my other business. I just have my clothing brand and a shoe brand.
How does that work? So like, are you designing from whole cloth and then have it produced somewhere, or do you design on top of like shoes that exist? So what, how does that work?
So I partner with manufacturers, and they let me design my own shoes, like the color of it, what I want to put on the shoe, and I just order just to get samples, and they send it out to me.
Damn.
They print it, and they send it out to me.
What's it cost to get a pair of shoes, like a custom pair of shoes made like that?
Depends. One depends on the shoe itself. Because like boots could cost about $80.
For one pair of boots.
Yeah, it depends on where you go, because they're like, but they're good quality. I was shocked too. Trust me, I was shocked too.
Yeah, I'm thinking like there's some little Malaysian kid sewing these together for nickels, and you're like, you know, you get like half a shoe that's gonna fall apart in a week. But
no, they're strong quality. Like you get a pair of boots for like $80, and that's with shipping.
Huh?
It just depends on where you get your shoes made from.
Where are these things coming from? Philippines?
No, China.
Yeah. Okay. How long does it take to get them?
Sometimes I do expedite. So sometimes 3 weeks to a month.
That's not too bad. That seems.
They work pretty fast.
I can't believe you can just make custom shoes. So once you have like a design, are you offering them for sale for people to order?
Yeah. Once I approve it, I feel confident with it. I'll be start promoting it.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't know you could just do that, like bespoke shoes.
I didn't either until I started researching.
Damn. Yeah, if I can look into this, I just have every pair of shoes custom made. I had no idea. So you do all sorts of merchandise. You do merchandise for your for the comic book and stuff. That's great.
Yep.
Damn, if it's staying busy out there in Tennessee.
I've been told.
So how long does Skin Shifter going, and then what's the plan after Skin Shifter? Is there another series? I mean, you have Havoc, the anthology series, and you said was it Arc Fire, which is another ongoing series, you said. So what's I mean, how do you juggle these? What's the plan moving forward?
So after the Skin Shifter, I have a zombie series called Terminus that's going to be coming soon. And I have it's Terminus and Favix. Favix is like my monster alien series.
Mm-hmm.
You think Alien mixed with Godzilla and Kong. Mm. That's my Favix. And Terminus is my zombie series. But it's not like, I try to be like outside the box in a way. Because when I wrote Terminus, I was like, I don't want this to be like a disease. Like, you know, that's so common. That's how zombies start. It's a disease. Yeah. So the first issue is called Terminus Corvix City. It takes place in Argentina. And the story goes is where the characters Carlos and Juan, and also, by the way, Carlos and Juan are actually the artists that's actually doing Terminus. So I make them characters in my story.
This is a very like Inception, like comic book squared.
I said, so I'm like, draw yourself, Larry. That's your character. Let's draw yourself. They said, oh, okay. And so the story of Terminus goes where, so I kind of mixed a bit of fantasy and horror together.
Okay.
Where the story is where the Terminus came from. They're from another planet where they were mythical creatures.
Mm.
But the thing is, there's a witch on that planet that wants power, and she craves power because she found out that she has this dark power that she holds. And so she enslaves the mythical creatures on that planet. But the thing is, the planet's dying. So she's turning them into Terminus, like zombies in a way. So she's trying to find another planet to rule over and take over. And so she comes to Earth and she lands, and the creatures land in Argentina. And that's when the war just breaks out. And the zombie Terminus mythical creatures are trying to survive, basically.
Yeah.
And the thing is, she finds out about Carlos because Carlos has a special power. And if you know the Mummy, the Tom Cruise version, Mummy,
yeah,
you know how was it Amunet? Was her name Amunet? Something. But the Mummy, she wanted Tom Cruise's character. That's kind of how my story is, because the rich name is Coffee Snob. Her name is Coffee Snob, and she wants Carlos because he's very powerful. The story is kind of like Carlos has to choose between if he's good, or is he evil, or is he in between. And then Juan is trying to like be that is that brother's like, dude, this is not you.
Yeah,
and trying to like, it's like if from Vampire Diaries, like the Stephen Damon aspect in a way.
Okay.
So that's going to be Terminus, and that's currently in production right now. And then Favex is my monster. It's one of my monster universes. Godzilla, Kong meeting aliens versus Predator. Because I started out as doing like a monster mashing, monster fighting. I was like, let me go darker with it.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, let me go darker. After watching Alien Romulus, that's what made me decide. I'm like, let me go darker with this one. And so I'm reworking that script, and it's like, this is. And then, but in that story, the character is Mateo and Kevin. But the thing is, Mateo, he looks human. That's all I'm gonna say. he looks human, but he has a history that he doesn't know about yet. That's soon to be revealed. I don't want to tell too much, but that's going to be a mystery story.
All right, hey, you got a lot on your plate.
Yeah, I love storytelling, and I tend to mix different genres together because heck, it's fun.
Yeah.
I even have a superhero horror story because it's not like superheroes in costumes, but it's more like Mortal Kombat. Meeting a horror movie, basically.
Hmm.
That one's called The Geneticals.
Okay.
So that my character Kynan is like he's half elf. Shoot, I forgot the other combination of it. It's in my script somewhere. I have a lot of stories, so I'm like, it's in my laptop. Yeah.
Hard to keep track of all of them. So, I mean, how do you juggle them and decide which one to work on? And like, you know, do you ever worry that in, you know, if you have so many going on, it's hard to stay focused and get the best version of one of them?
I started, when I first started out, yes, I was worried. But now, the way I choose is one, which one I'm more excited about, and like I know where I want to go with it, that makes sense. Like for Terminus, issue one's already written together, it's already written fully. Issue one's already been worked on. I'm already starting issue two and three, but I set them to aside so I can go to the other comic Favex, because I already know where I want to go with that one.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I determine. And then I'm going back to like my current series I started, like Arc Fire. I got a few more pages to write on that one, so that's already going. were being ridden. Havoc, I set aside for a second because I'm not sure about that one. So I always go, like, I call them my priority projects in a way, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, the one I'm more excited about, and I know exactly where I want to go, that's where I'm going first. And then even when I have ideas for the other ones, I type them up, save them, I'll come back to you later.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I kind of like flip through them. And then plus that, I'm working on my novels too at the same time, because I want to get back, bring out some more novels and comics. Because I have a new novel called Kevzaiety, which is about me and my dealing with anxiety, dealing with my mental health, and telling my story. Mm-hmm. And then I have a zombie novel called Terminus Eternal Fatalities. I'm like, same universe, I'm like the same Terminus universe, same yeah. universe. That there's different time periods and stuff. Same thing as Havoc. But the difference is Terminus isn't an anthology. It's legit just continuing. But yeah, that's how I decide which one I want to go to first.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I recently started working on like a mental health magazine and a horror magazine. So, yeah.
Oh, you got all kinds of shit. Yeah, man. Busy guy. I like it. Yeah, you got to crank out that creativity. Make hay while the sun shines, right?
Yes, sir.
So when can people expect the first issue of Skin Shifter? I know the Kickstarter is TBD on when it's going to launch. What's your timeline for that?
Probably say January 2025.
Okay. And where can people?
I was going to do a Halloween, but it's the my holiday season. I'm going to push it back just a little bit more.
Yeah, but it's tough. And you know, we're already October 9th. Jesus, years flown by.
Yeah.
So, Jesus. Yeah. Man. So what? Tell people where they can find you. Tell people where they can find your work, Kickstarter, your previous comic books. What to do to follow you and get in touch with you and find your books.
Well, you can mostly see me on Instagram at I am Kevin Davis Official. I am verified, so you see the blue dot by my name is I am Kevin Davis Official.
All right.
And Facebook, it's Kevin Davis, but it's too many Kevin Davises, so I advise go to Instagram. If you're on TikTok, I am Kevin Davis CEO. YouTube is. Dang, what is my YouTube? Oh, YouTube is Kevysle Entertainment. It's KEVYSLE Entertainment.
Okay.
So that's where you can find my YouTube. I'll be posting more on there because you can see behind me, my camera is a bit behind me, so I'm going to like try to get some content on YouTube and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah. But you can mostly find my stuff on Instagram because you can see the artwork because, you know, it's photos. I give most of my updates on Instagram, and yeah.
And is that where people go to find your previous comic books too, if they want to get them?
Everything link in my bio on Instagram, all in one place.
All right.
There you go.
I love it. All right, Kevin. Anything else before we get out of here today?
Stay blessed and have a good day.
I like that. It's good. All right. That's good advice for everyone. All right, guys. Well, check out Kevin's work. Follow him on Instagram. Keep an eye out for the updates for the release for Skin Shifters 1. Go check out his previous releases and everything else he's got coming out. There's a bevy of stuff coming. So, man, you'll always have a chance to get some new thing coming from him. And as for me, guys, again, go to deescomedy.com. Check out everything going on. Live dates. Check the calendar. Follow inferno.earth on Instagram for updates on the Kickstarter, which goes through the 16th. And we'll have rewards rolling out soon. Don't forget, if you're in Austin, go to Mexicamericon in Austin on November 2nd. I'll get some information about where that is. And then Fan Fest in Dallas, October 19th and 20th. So come see me there too. That's going to be fun. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. We are out of here for this week. We appreciate you hanging out. Again, follow Kevin. And for everyone, for the Social Hour, I've been Deese. And for Kevin, thank you very much, guys. And we will see you all next week.